WWT after further review, as this is one of Frank's favorite songs.
Do not listen to him. He is selling you snake oil.
We don't sell snake oil, but we provide an entertaining and thought-provoking sports show on 88.3 WXUT. Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And sometimes we provide a life lesson. Ain't that right, Frank?
Life lesson my ass.
Don't be a hater. And tune in to AFR Saturday mornings 11 to 1 on WXUT. Hola. Welcome back to 88.3 WXUT's After Further Review. Got a good show for you here today as we got Ryan McCumber on the phone lines with us. What's up, Ryan?
How's it going? Thanks for having me on again.
No problem, Ryan. As you got the phone, you got it turned up there? Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. No, stop. Okay, so we got Ryan McCumber here on the phone lines here as he is a Michigan State beat writer. And Ryan, I want to ask you, what's the state of the Michigan State program?
Obviously nationally they're getting grilled a lot, but I'd like to see, I think a lot of people want to see facts come out with this ESPN piece. Obviously both these programs are going to be negatively recruited, so that doesn't really help. But, I think most people feel like the two coaches, D'Antonio and Izzo, deserve the benefit of the doubt until we get an independent investigation and see facts come out.
Now, I gotta ask you this. Does it almost seem like a hit job, almost? I mean, it all started with the Larry Nassar, and like I said, I saw the father attack this man. It was horrible what this man has done. I mean, almost over 200 cases of incidents that have happened with him. He's a monster. But then all of a sudden, it seemed like people wanted to dig into what happened with the sports programs. And, I'm not condoning what the man did, but, I mean, you can't link the two together as far as Michigan State having pretty much a sexual misconduct culture.
That is my biggest issue with this. I think, first of all, they sat on this since September, and they didn't. So they released it at a convenient time when people were paying attention to the Larry Nassar case. And Michigan State deserves all the shame in the world for that. They mishandled everything. It was an absolute embarrassment that this went on for years and nobody stopped him. I think that this is unfair in a way. I don't think the piece has a lot of holes in it. And if you research it, there's a lot of it's hearsay. There's no, I would say there, and even the writer came on a radio show the other day and said, "Hey, I'm not accusing these two coaches of covering anything up." So I do think it's, and then you see ESPN Outside the Lines put on they have a picture of Larry Nassar, and then you have D'Antonio and Izzo in the same picture. And that's irresponsible reporting, in my opinion. That's not fair.
Ryan, you and I can both agree, and Derek, you as well. If you're going to say that a coach has hands in police departments and courts, you better come with, that's a dangerous road to go down. You better come with real hard evidence that they do.
Absolutely. And that's my biggest issue is this. I think almost any MSU fan wants the truth to this. That's all they want. I want facts. I want hard evidence. If you're going to put a piece out like that, you better have more than one source, which is basically what Lauren Allsweet is. And they also talked to the Payne Appling sexual assault accuser, but that's a different story. And Izzo has some questions to answer. Apparently Travis Walton came out and said he was not an official university employee, so he wasn't really a hired coach.
Yeah,
he was really volunteering.
Yeah, he was a volunteer coach. But then you still kind of represent. But you still represent the program, though, to an extent. And by the way, he did go to Lima Senior High School, which I was just at the other day. I forgot that Travis Walton is from this area. But then again, though, I think weren't the charges dropped against Travis Walton, though?
Yeah, they were dismissed.
They pled down to a littering charge, like Frank said.
Yeah, and of course, what I don't, when people say that there's some cooking going on there, I don't think so, because if you walk into a bar and you cold cock somebody in the face, especially if it's a woman, it's not likely you're going to get it pled down to littering. At the very least, you may get charged with felonious assault and get pled down to misdemeanor assault and battery.
I guess my question is this, and I didn't really like it, is that we've all noticed a trend here. It's either something involving alcohol at a bar,
mm-hmm.
or alcohol at someone's house. I guess how I look at this is this. People say, well, why didn't they report it earlier? Well, cases like this, you can't just come out and report early. You just can't. I mean, for one, you got to protect the victim. And I'll tell you this. This incident's happened at certain colleges that I've been at, where a girl comes out and says that, you know, so-and-so athlete, you know, did this to them or sexually assaulted them. You can't just run out to the press and tell them, well, you know, so-and-so did this, because currently that case is under investigation. And let's be honest, too. If you go out and you tell everybody, you could intimidate the witness. I mean, like I said, you mm-hmm. know, sometimes a lot of things happen where someone can go after the witness, and then the witness is scared to do anything, and then they might just drop the charges because of intimidation. So you got to kind of keep quiet about this until the full investigation is through and you get all the facts. And that's where I don't understand what ESPN, it's like they're making it seem like Izzo and D'Antonio are like cover-up artists, and they're not. For one, you're protecting your player, and two, you're also protecting the victim by saying, well, let's wait for the full investigation. Now, they probably suspend the player, but they're not going to give you the full details because, like I said, you can mess up the investigation doing that. So that's the reason why they don't quickly come out and do that. Number two, I don't think they're really looking at it from a coach's point of view. Think about this. You go into someone's home. Most of these athletes, they're not from the best environments. Probably we'd say about 70% of them, maybe 80% of them. And you go in there and you say, you know what? I'm going to treat him just like my son. And you bring the kid in. And let's face it, they're 18 to 22-year-olds. Now, do I condone sexual assault? No. Do I condone any other things that they do? But let's face it, people are going to make mistakes. And on the first mistake, you can't go in there and just kick the kid off the team. Now, unless, you know, it's something really major, like he murdered somebody, or come to find out, you know, it was a rape after the investigation, then you can kick the person off the team. But normally, if you notice in sports, when a person gets kicked off a team, normally they have a pattern of doing things that it's like, all right, we gave you two or three chances. You know, you got to pack your bags, buddy. So just because a kid makes a mistake, you just don't automatically boot them off, because for one, you're going in these parents' houses telling them that they're almost like your son and you're going to take care of them. And as soon as they make one mistake and they make the program look bad, it's like, well, we don't need you anymore. See you. Get out of here. You know, that just looks bad.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, I wanted to point this out. D'Antonio last year, well-known around, at least regionally, that there were two cases of sexual assault. One with just one of the players, and then there was one with three, involving three guys. He kicked all four of those guys off the team, and once the charges were announced, they were gone. And they did there was an investigative report on this to see how it was handled. Did D'Antonio cover anything up, or did he try to? Well, it was found out that once he found out about it, he went to the proper authorities right away. And one of the staffers that was formerly with MSU, Curtis Blackwell, mishandled everything, and they let him go. He was not welcome back. So, I mean, I just find it hard to believe that there was any type of cover-up when D'Antonio kicked four guys off the team that would have easily, all four of them would have played last year, every single one of them. And I just find it hard to believe that he would cover something up earlier. I mean, if you do the right thing once, I would assume that he's done it before. That's just my theory.
Yeah, I like that. And not to mention, too, I didn't like what the reporter did. I didn't like how the reporter basically kind of – it was guerrilla tactics. I mean, it's like – it's a basketball game. And Jay Billis came up with a good point. They're already lawyered up. If you think you're going to go in there and pull the old guerrilla attack and hit them with a question and think you're going to get your answers – you're not, because let's face it, the university has already talked to them and said, you know what, this is pending an investigation – the less you talk, the better. So you can't come in there and start saying things. So this is after a basketball game. I think maybe a question would have been better or suited saying, you know, amid the allegations, how did it affect your team during the game? Because let's face it, Michigan State was down to Maryland in that game, and they did look a little lethargic. I mean, it didn't look like the Michigan State team that you normally see on a regular occasion. So you could tell some of this stuff has been getting to the players. Obviously, they hear everything. I mean, they're young. I mean, they still go on social media. And as a coach, as me, as a coach, when you do a basketball game, you're thinking about the basketball game. You're not thinking about all the other little things that's going outside. You're trying to decompress, and you know, a million things are going through your head, and the last thing you're going to be thinking about is rape allegations or sexual assault allegations. And for the reporter to do that, you know, then you know, you ask it in the press conference, and then you follow him to the locker room. It's like, well, what are you trying to do here? Now, some journalists will say, well, she did a great job. Those are the questions you need to ask. Well, they're right. To an extent, I've done plenty of press conferences. There's a time and a place to ask those questions. And that press conference was not that time and a place after a basketball game to ask that. I thought that was totally out of bounds. Now, if he did a Monday presser, or sometimes, you know, they have their Tuesday call-ins or whatever to the media, that's when you can probably ask those questions. But directly after an emotional basketball game against a Big Ten opponent in Maryland, you're trying to get a Big Ten championship, right then and there, that was not the time to ask questions about serious stuff about that. I thought that was totally out of bounds, and I thought ESPN, like you said, I think it really detracted from what they're trying to do, because now it really looks like a hit piece now, because you're just trying to do guerrilla tactics.
You're absolutely right, Derek, and of course, people are kind of comparing how Izzo and D'Antonio have handled this. Now, I'll be the first to say, D'Antonio came out but right before the basketball game against Wisconsin, and he essentially dropped the mic and said, I've done everything right. All this stuff that they're saying about me is false. Come get it. Burden of proof is on you. Because what they did in that OTL piece was essentially repackage old news.
Yeah.
Stuff that had been reported, stuff that had been through the court system, and it either got taken care of, or it was ruled that it didn't happen, or there was not enough evidence to prove anything, so cases were dismissed. Now, and of course, there are some people that are going to, and of course, Izzo saying that he's kind of dodging questions. I agree, Izzo does need to answer it, but Derek, like you said, there is a time and place for it, and he said that after the Penn State game, that there'll be a time and place for me to answer this, but this is not the time nor the place. And one more thing I do want to bring up is the whole the prosecutor at the time of this, Stuart Dunnings. People are saying that there was preferential treatment. That is not true. Now, I know that Stuart Dunnings had his skeletons in his closet, and he got busted for running a prostitution ring and was removed from his position and put in prison, and he just got out. But I can't remember one time where he went easy on any MSU athlete. For if they got in trouble with the law, he would throw the book at them.
Yep.
There was essentially no mercy. It was it may have been like it used to be up in Oakland County a number of years ago, where they didn't plea bargain. Your case was going to trial, like it or not. And you were going to either plead guilty to what they charged you with, or you were going to fight it in court. But that's how he was. And of course, people all say that impacted his judgment. I'm not buying that, especially when he didn't seem to go lean on anybody. Valeni said Dunnings hated any Spartan athlete, which that might be a little strong of a statement, but I know he would throw the book pretty much at anybody.
He was also, this needs to be mentioned, he was also a U of M grad with basketball season tickets. So, I mean, that's just, if anybody thinks that he was covering anything up, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, also, you got to remember, too, the president did step down, but she still gets paid her salary of $750,000, and she can come back as a professor. Now, that's only by name only that the reason why she's not with the university. But it goes back to the Penn State and the Baylor thing. Do I think there's a cover-up through the athletic department? No, but this goes back to my theory, and I've been saying this on this show all the time. No matter if you're a football coach, basketball coach, or whoever, you're never going to be bigger than the brand. Even the president, you're not going to be bigger than the brand.
You're absolutely
right. And the whole Larry Nassar thing, I don't think that really affects the football and basketball team, even though they probably did see him going through the halls. And some people are saying, well, with all these cases, there had to be some kind of, you know, whispers going on, like, hey, man, this guy's over here, you know, molesting the women or sexually assaulting them. But the thing about it is, think about it. With these universities, could there have been a cover-up with Nassar? I think so. I mean, it's been going on since the late 90s. The same thing with the Jerry Sandusky thing. I think some people are thinking in a 2018 mindset and not what happened probably 20 years ago. I mean, 20 years ago, you had those type of allegations, and it was kind of like, someone wants to come forward, but, you know, if you come forward and it's not true, then you look like the fool, and then people just kept quiet. I do think the university did know. They didn't want that to be part of their brand, so they probably told them just to hush up. Now that it's come out, now we got to start doing these things. I think personally the resigning of the president was just something for the donors. It was to say, look, we're doing something about this. Look at this. We got rid of her. But in actuality, did you really get rid of her because of the victims? Or did you really get rid of her because you're trying to protect the brand? And that's where I think the university is doing with this president. They just said, you know, she resigned, but you're not doing it because of the victims or you feel sorry for them. Because if you really felt sorry for the victims, guess what? You would have done something about Larry Nassar about 10 years ago, and they didn't.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I wanted to bring up, Ryan.
Sorry,
but people that are still working at MSU that have been accused of knowing what was going on. And I've got a major problem with that. Like I said, university deserves every bit of scrutiny that they get for how they handle this Larry Nassar situation. It's an embarrassment. Absolutely. Zero question. They handled it awfully. And then Simon, I think it's ridiculous she gets to come back. You know, she gets her salary. That makes me upset. And then I also wanted to bring this up. Nobody's talking about the gymnastics coach, Kathy Klages. She knew about Nassar and basically threatened athletes that came to her and said, hey, if you do this, if you come in and report about Larry, you're going to get in trouble. So, and she is on a pension, and she's on retirement right now.
And then the Caroli camp.
Problem with that.
The Caroli camp. Simone Biles even said that he did something to her. I mean, I listened to some of the stuff that on CNN and stuff. It was nasty. I mean, you had one girl kill herself because of this. I guess she tried to tell people and no one really listened to her. I guess the youngest victim was, what, 6 years old? I mean, it was pretty. This guy's a total monster, which he's not going to survive in jail. I already tell you that right now. There's going to be an oopsie happening to him because, I mean, some of the stories were just horrible. But going back to the Michigan State Athletic Department, I was really disappointed in ESPN. And Mike Valenti brought up a good point. You know, you're putting in the creepy music, putting in Nassar mixed in with, you know, come on. That right there, that's almost close to borderline slander on the athletic department. Like, you know, Izzo and D'Antonio are just, you know, slime buckets. And you can tell it's really getting on Izzo. He looks like he's almost aged in like 3 weeks. Those guys, when you're coaching, you're almost like an educator. And if you can tell with Izzo, I mean, let's face it, anyone that's interacted with the man or any of his former players will even tell you he's there for the kids and he's a great educator and he's a great man. And the same thing with D'Antonio. And there's no way that these men would pretty much allow for stuff like this to happen. But at the same time, you got to give people their due process. You just can't say an allegation comes out and then kick them off the team. Because let's face it, like I said, I don't condone this stuff, but I've seen this. I've been on campus. I've been an undergrad. Some of these athletes, they're targets.
Yeah. You mentioned the whole thing with due process. Well, Valenti said this too. It's in this day and age, if you don't join the angry mob is gonna consume you. And look, I'm not gonna go and say that Izzo and D'Antonio should lose their job. Ryan's not going to say that either. But unless you happen to show me hard evidence that they obstructed investigation, they intimidated witnesses, or any of that, or covered anything up, then yeah, I'll be one of the first people to take a can of gas, light a match, and just burn it to the ground. But until you show me that, I'm not joining the mob. I'm letting the due process play out. And of course, the whole thing with kicking about the team with allegations. I mean, you have to let that play out too. It has to be. I think Ryan Schuling mentioned this in his show. You have, in the whole prosecuting process, you have allegations. The prosecutor has to look at that hat and see, is there enough evidence and stuff here to file charges against someone? And then you have to go the next steps of the process, go through the whole trial, determine if there's enough probable cause for somebody to stand trial. And then you go through all that, and then you end up with conviction. It's allegation, charge, conviction. That's how the process has to work. That is how our legal system works. That's just how it is. You have to let it play out. I mean, you can't go just because somebody is accused of something, just go and put them through a kangaroo court when the facts haven't even come out.
So, Ryan, where do you expect this program to go from here? I mean, obviously, we've got the Big Ten tournament in less than a month, really, the first weekend of March.
At the Mecca.
Yes, it is at the Mecca right before the Big East tournament. What about, and then it's the football offseason, but they're going to be going in the spring practice. I mean, this is going to be lingering. What's going to go on for the future of both these programs? Or just the department
in
general?
It's going to be a cloud until they have an investigation to independent investigation into both the programs. It is what it is. I mean, D'Antonio, I want to say this. D'Antonio, I think, handled it well. He came out and said, no, you come after me, show me the facts. I didn't do anything wrong. But I think Izzo, I mean, to be fair to Izzo, he has a season going on right now, so it's very difficult for him to say much of anything. But, I mean, I don't think he's handled it that great. That's the type of person that he is. He's an emotional guy. Usually speaks what he feels, and it's hard for him. He wants to. You could tell he wants to say something. The lawyer, obviously, they're lawyered up. They're not saying anything. But I do think that it becomes a distraction. But I think that this basketball team is. If you're gonna have a team that can handle it, these are the guys that can handle something like this. Because I think that this team, while there's a lot of underclassmen, they've been through the ringer before. They went through it last year, and I think that I think they know how to handle themselves.
We're here with Ryan McCumber here online, or actually on Facebook Live for me, and also here on 88.3 WHT as we talk about the state of the Michigan State Athletic Department. And as I said before, I don't condone anything that Nasser did, but I just think that we've gotten to a place now, and it's getting really concerning with me, especially in journalism, where it's the mob mentality. And one, when you go into journalism, you want the facts. You want the real story to come out. And I think ESPN, people have talked about this. They've had the layoffs and everything like that. And it's almost like, are you doing it to get the real story of the facts, or are you trying to start doing stuff for ratings? Because it looks like right now, like I said, the hit piece and the packages that they're putting together, and it's almost making it seem like Michigan State is shady, the guerrilla tactics at the press conference. You know, like I said, I don't condone anything that's going on. And if the facts do come out that these guys have covered up, then, you know, you throw the book at these guys. But until then, you can't just sit there and say, you know, you guys are cover-up artists, and we don't even have the full story out yet.
Exactly.
I agree with you. A lot of people have joined this mob, and they make their opinion from reading a headline. They don't look into it. They don't do their own research. And unfortunately, that's kind of what today's society is. People look at a headline, they don't research it. They just say, "Hey, this said this, so it must be true." And they don't look into the full story.
And to me, and I've heard this mentioned too, ESPN is a for-profit company, and
well, everyone
is.
News outlet is for-profit.
I mean, they're doing is for profit. They are trying to get the web clicks. because that's how they make money. I mean, is it necessarily right? Not entirely, but I mean that's just how the game is played.
I mean, then you look at, they had a story that came out. Yeah, this is MSU related. They were talking about how LeBron was going to listen to the Warriors. And they were made a big deal about how they're going to how they could make it work, and that's just ridiculous. A lot of this stuff that they do is just clickbaity garbage, and that's the way it is today, unfortunately.
Well, if to add to that. In the Detroit Free Press, somebody wrote that the Lions should trade Matthew Stafford for Tom Brady.
Yeah, I know who wrote it.
It was written by Carlos Manieres.
Tends to put things like that. Carlos Manieres. He's basically the new Drew Sharp of the Detroit Free Press.
Ooh. All right. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for calling in, man. Some great stuff. Like I said, we'll post it on our WSUT SoundCloud page and on iTunes. So if you've got an iPhone, you can listen to us right in your pocket, or get the SoundCloud app and turn us up there, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem. What you got planned for the weekend?
Working basically all weekend.
Oh, man, that's how it is. Always all the time. I got a basketball game to get to right after the show, too, man. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Take it easy.
Yep, that was Ryan McCumber calling in. We got David the Man and Got Harris calling in a little bit later. That was a good piece right there, man. Jared Jansen said, tell him about the buzzer beater.
I've already mentioned that Timmy Van hit serving up the onions last night, very similar to what Gary Harris did for the Nuggets.
You said serving up the onions. Wow. Hear it here all the time. We're going to have David the Man and Got Harris calling in right after this. Also, before we get into your David the Man Got Harris, we got your power play.
Yeah.
And then David's going to talk about NFL. He said something about he wanted to do the NFL and he wanted to do some Charles Barkley stuff. We'll see if we can get to that. But before all that, we got to do a tribute real quick. We couldn't be able to do this tribute back in November. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to do the tribute real quick for a person that we lost 2 months ago. So we got to do that real quick. And then power play, and David can call in, talk a little Super Bowl. We got that and more here on 88.3 WXUT's After Further Review.